From NPR News in Washington, I'm Carol Van Damme. U.S. and European aircraft pounded Libyan defense sites for a second day in a row as flares could be seen in the sky over Tripoli from Muammar Gaddafi's anti-aircraft weapons. The campaign is aimed at stopping Gaddafi's forces from advancing on Benghazi and other cities held by the opposition. Joint Chiefs Chairman Mike Mullen says Gaddafi remains defiant despite the announcement of a ceasefire tonight.
We hit a lot of targets. Focused on his command and control, focused on his air defense, and actually attacked some of his forces on the ground in the vicinity of Benghazi.
Britain's defense ministry says one of its submarines has again fired Tomahawk-guided missiles tonight as part of the second wave of attacks to enforce the UN resolution. The U.S. military says no Allied aircraft were lost. NPR's David Green in Tripoli says Gaddafi forces took him to the strongman sprawling military complex in the heart of the capital, reportedly to view casualties.
They didn't take us to this building when we were here last time, and the government's not claiming that there were any casualties. They're just saying that it was a very close call and that building, the administrative building on the Gaddafi compound, is not a building that's related to the military. They said it is an administrative building, one that is very close to where civilians are on the ground, acting as human shields.
NPR's David Green. Defense Secretary Robert Gates says the Pentagon expects to turn over control of the Libya operation to a coalition led by either the French or British or by NATO in a matter of days. President Obama is continuing his trip through Latin America despite the international military operation in Libya. NPR's Ari Shapiro reports the president spent Sunday visiting tourist sites in Rio de Janeiro.
The president started his day with a secure conference call about Libya. Then he went with his family to the City of God favela, a slum of some 40,000 people. They watched a drum performance and a capoeira show, then kicked around a soccer ball with local kids. In a speech to the Brazilian people later, the president quoted one of those kids.
People have to look at favelas not with pity, but as a source of presidents and lawyers and doctors, artists, and people with solutions.
The president also said Brazil's transition to democracy in the 1980s proves that a call for change can transform a country. Ari Shapiro, NPR News, Rio de Janeiro.
Engineers have restored power to three reactors at the crippled Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power plant and hope to test water pumps at the facility in Japan within days. Damage estimates in Japan are expected to be in the range of $250 billion. U.S. Energy Secretary Stephen Chu, asked by CNN whether the worst of Japan's 10-day nuclear crisis is over, said, "We believe so, but I don't want to make a blanket statement." Authorities say the toll from the massive earthquake and tsunami is now more than 8,000. They say they expect the toll to exceed 18,000. This is NPR. The president of Yemen has fired his entire cabinet as clamor for his ouster escalates with each passing day. Members of President Ali Abdullah Saleh's own tribe have called on him to resign. His security troops have opened fire on anti-government demonstrators in the capital and in southern Yemen over the past few days. Witnesses say about 100 people have been killed so far in the month-long political uprising. Haitians cast ballots on Sunday in the final round to decide who will be president. NPR's Kerry Khan in Port-au-Prince reports officials say the election operations were much improved over last November's primary, which was marred by allegations of fraud and voter intimidation.
Two candidates are vying to be the Caribbean nation's next president. Both are right-of-center politicians, but besides that, they could not be more different. 70-year-old former First Lady Mirlan Maniga is a university administrator and former senator. The other candidate is one of the country's most famous pop singers, 50-year-old Michel Martelly, who has no political experience. Polls were to open at 6 a.m., but several locations throughout Port-au-Prince didn't receive the right voting materials. Poll workers say they were given ballots from a 2009 senatorial race. In some places, it took hours to get the correct material. Election officials apologized for the delays and insisted the mistakes were isolated. Polls in the capital were left open an extra hour to compensate for the delays. Kerry Khan, NPR News, Port-au-Prince.
Asian stocks are mostly higher in early trading today, pushed up by word that Japan is making progress in its battle to control radiation leaks at its damaged nuclear complex. South Korea's index is up 0.9%. Hong Kong's index rose 1.3%. I'm Carol Van Damme, NPR News, in Washington.